Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopada Shamakanda Radha Kudu Guru Govarda Nijaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Kujaya Navadab Dham Kujaya Gangajamana Tulsi Bhakti Devi Kijaya Anandu Gauri Vaishnava Vrindavan Kijaya Samadhat Bhakti Vrindavan Kijaya Pravinandi Yogar Sasamadho 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 Yogar
Sasamadho Yogar Sasamadho Yogar Sasamadho Yogar
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namah Vishnupadaya Krishna Sankutale Shivani Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswata Devi Gauravani Prachadane. Nirvashesha Chandravari Pastrata Deshatarane. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasini Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Read Rishima Bhagavad Candles, chapter 7, verse 33. Nagar Hajan Tarteshu,
Nagar Hajan Tarteshu,
Yavishtangya Bivaranam,
Yavishtangya Bivaranam,
Chandobhyo Nyatra Nabrahman,
Chandobhyo Nyatra Nabrahman,
Vayo Jastrasya Karanam.
Vayo Jastrasya Karanam.
Nagarayan Kartechu.
Nagarayan Kartechu.
Yavishtangri
Abhivadanam.
Yavishtangri Abhivadanam.
Yavishtangri Abhivadanam.
Vayo Jastrasya Karanam.
Vayo Jastrasya Karanam.
Garhayanti forbid he in the
harteshu
in acquiring interests. Ayavishta angri, the lotus feet of a junior, abhivadanam, offering obeisances, chandavya, Vedic mantras, anyatra, apart from, na, not. Brahman, O Brahman, Avaya, age, Jaisthasya, of seniority, Karanam, cause. Translation, the demigods continue, do not fear criticisms for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. But one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relation to us, you may become our priest without hesitation. Therefore, it is said, Ridadvam Vayasavina, one may be senior without being advanced in age. Even if one is not old, one gains seniority if he is senior in knowledge. Visharup was junior in relation to the demigods because he was their nephew. The demigods wanted to accept him as their priest, and therefore he would have to accept obeisances from them. Demigods explained that this should not be a cause for hesitation. He could become their priest because he was advanced in Vedic knowledge. Similarly, Chaitanya Kumandara advises, Nichad Aputamam Gyanam. One may accept education from a member of a lower social order. The Brahman is a member of the most elevated Varna, our teachers, but a person in a lower family, such as a family of Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or even Sudras may be accepted as a teacher if he has knowledge. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this when he expressed this opinion before Ramananda Roy. Kiba vipa kiba nasi sudra kini nahi krishna tatva veta se guru hai. It does not matter whether one is a Brahmin, Sudra, Grihastha, or Sannyasi. These are all material designations. A spiritually advanced person has nothing to do with such designations. Therefore, if one is advanced in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his position in human society, may become a spiritual master. Text 34, Sukadeva Goswami continued, when all the demigods requested the great Visvarupa to be their priest, Visvarupa, who was advanced in austerities, was very pleased. He replied to them as follows. Visvarupa said, O demigods, although the acceptance of priesthood is decried as causing the loss of previously acquired brahminical powers, how can someone like me refuse to accept your personal request? You're all exalted commanders of the entire universe. I am your disciple and must take many lessons from you. Therefore, I cannot refuse you. I must agree for my own benefit. Therefore, the professions of a qualified brahmana are patana, patana, yajana, yajana, dana, and pratigraha. The words yajana and yajana mean that a brahmana becomes a priest of the populace for the sake of their elevation. One who accepts the post of the spiritual master neutralizes the sinful reactions of the yajaman, the one on whose behalf he performs yajna. Thus, the results of the pious acts previously performed by the priest or spiritual master are diminished. Therefore, priesthood is not accepted by learned brahmanas. Nevertheless, the greatly learned brahmana, Visvarupa, became the priest of the demigods because of his profound respect for them. Translation, demigods continue to not fear criticisms for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras, except in relation to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age, but one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relation to us, you may become our priest without hesitation. So, here are the etiquette of what Vedic knowledge is stated, and generally the senior has to be respected, and that means senior by age. But they've also pointed out that if one is young but has knowledge of the mantras of the Vedas, then he has to be given respect. So in other words, spiritual knowledge takes precedence over age. Though the general condition is there about age, nevertheless, exceptions are made when a person has great knowledge. That, of course, does not negate the previous rule that therefore we disrespect all elders or anything, but there's an exceptional case where a person has great knowledge. So that is the case for Vedas, Vedic knowledge and Vedic conduct. And, of course, in the Varnashram system, we have similar things. As regards the Vaishnava, of course, the same principle is followed, but the emphasis is more upon the spiritual aspect. So in the Vedas, it is the Vedic mantras that one knows. If one knows those mantras, then one is considered superior. In terms of the Vaishnava, it is the knowledge about Krishna, knowledge of the Supreme Lord, and realization of the Supreme Lord, which determines the respect given to the person. So, of course, the external respect of according to caste and age and other things is also given, but the main factor is the acquisition of knowledge in that person. So therefore, we look for the knowledge in the person. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, Ye Krishna Tattva Veta, one who knows the truth about Krishna, he is fit to be guru. So the emphasis here upon knowledge, whoever has the knowledge is the greater person. But the knowledge is not just the knowledge of Vedas, it is actually the conclusion of the Vedas that is knowledge of Krishna. So the Vedas, of course, are vast and they have many mantras and one can learn all the mantras, but still one can miss the whole point. So there are many verses which seemingly praise Indra or Varuna or other devatas. And if one has learned in Vedic mantras, one will learn all of these things. So one may miss the conclusion, that is, that ultimately the Vedas are singing the praise of Vishnu. And everything in the Vedas is directed towards Vishnu. So if a person misses that point, then he is not fully knowledgeable. So one who comes to the conclusion of the Vedas, that is that the Supreme Lord is different from Devatas, and that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, that person is superior. So that, of course, is a person who has knowledge of the Bhagavatam. If one has the Bhagavat knowledge, one has the conclusion of the Vedas. So he's the knower of the Vedas. So that person who has knowledge of the Bhagavatam, he is fit to teach others. He is the one who has to be respected. So there is good fortune for this, because Bhagavatam does not require the same qualification as Vedas. For Vedas, you cannot be a sudra or an outcast. You cannot learn. But the Bhagavatam, of course, the Puranas and the Mahabharata are beyond that. It doesn't require that one has to be upper caste or whatever. So it is meant for everyone. So there's no restriction. So one who has knowledge of the Bhagavatam, he becomes fit to teach others. And whether he is Sudra or Brahmana or Kshatriya or Vaishya or even non-Varna, he has no Varna still. If he knows Krishna, then he's fit to teach. And so that is the basic principle of Lord Chaitanya, that we base it on the knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, there may be many qualities that are mentioned in the scripture regarding who is a guru. But again, the main quality is the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, understanding of who is supreme. If that is there, that is an acceptable quality. If that is not there, then the person is not qualified at all. So therefore, it says one must have a Vaishnava guru, one who actually knows the truth about the scriptures, conclusion of the scriptures. So the demigods here are saying that, well, we respect you because you have knowledge of the mantras, and therefore, even though you are junior, you're like our child, still, we give you respect. Of course, there's a particular purpose they're doing this for, that is, they want to defeat the demons. So they're accepting him for this, provisionally for this purpose. So even though he's a junior, they say, because your superiority in Vedic mantras, therefore we accept you as superior. And Vishwarup, of course, did accept this offer of the Devatas. Was willing to do whatever they said. That is the position, of course, of a junior, that at the request of someone senior, he has to follow that. So therefore, he agrees to do that. At the same time, it is pointed out that generally, to get that position, you lose your power. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that when you become a priest and then you act on behalf of others by doing sacrifices, etc., then somehow you get the sinful reactions, or you take responsibility at least for the reactions of that particular person that you represent. So in this way you begin to lose your power. This, of course, isn't, as we can say, a material viewpoint, of course, in terms of pap and punyas, etc. So you get great punyas, and then you take responsibility for others who are not so pure, and then you begin to lose your power. So the same principle, of course, is there in terms of Vaishnavas. It is said that the, of course, the principle applies to kings also. Kings are responsible for the citizens. If the sinful citizens are sinful, then the king is responsible, and he loses his punya because of that. I have said, of course, if the wife is sinful, then
the husband also gets the loss of his punyas for that. So similarly, it is said, if the disciple is sinful, then the guru takes the burden of that sin also. So there is a shared responsibility in these relationships. And therefore, if the person does bad acts, the person who's responsible is responsible for that, so he gets a little share of their sinful actions or whatever. So that is the case here also with the yajaman and the priest. He accepts the, has to accept responsibility for the sinful acts of the priest also, of the yajaman, the person he's doing the sacrifice for. So in this way he loses punya, so to speak. So this, of course, is not a consideration as far as the Vaishnava is concerned, because he's not really involved in papa and punya, etc. He doesn't care about that so much. What he is involved in is spiritual advancement, etc. However, we see that that relationship carries over into spiritual advancement also, because it says that if the spiritual master does not reject that disciple who is incorrigibly sinful, then the guru also falls from his position. So it does affect him spiritually as well. So that is the, let's say, worst result we can get from the influence of the disciple on the guru. So therefore, it's advised that the guru has to be very careful who he accepts as disciples, because he has to make sure that they don't do all sorts of sinful activities, and then he has to suffer the results of that. And then if he finds out later that they are sinful, then he has to reject them, etc. So to safeguard that, then the guru has to test the disciple first and see that he is qualified to become a disciple. So that is the special provisions there for the Vaishnava relationship, the guru and the disciple. So here it applies also between the priest and the, he's not exactly a disciple, he's just the one who gets the sacrifice performed for him. So because the Brahmins are knowledgeable of the mantras, they know all how to do the sacrifices. We Kshatriyas, Navaishas, and Sudras, of course, don't know so much, and therefore the priest acts on their behalf. Technically, the other person should do the sacrifice if he's Kshatriya or Vaishya, but they don't know the mantras, so therefore they get the Brahmana to do it on their behalf. So then that in the way they have to, there's a sharing of the effect of the whatever sinful activity is there in that person. So it's something like a disciple. So Vishwarupa says here that, it's possible that I will have to get some bad effects. But anyway, I cannot refuse, in spite of the fact that it's not such a good thing to do this, to accept this position of doing sacrifices and whatever. What this would imply, of course, is that better simply to do things for oneself. But the duty of the Brahmana is to perform sacrifices for himself and for others, and to learn the Shastras and to teach others the Shastras. So when he gets into the teaching Shastras again, it's the same problem. If he teaches the disciple is sinful, then he gets the same problem. So every time the Brahmana acts on behalf of others, then he has to be very, very careful that the person that he accepts is qualified. Therefore, the Brahmana has to be careful when he accepts the services, doing things for others.
Of course,
the
Vedic sacrifices, but there is the name of the Lord there also, definitely. But of course, there's also many worship of devatas, etc. there, so that's not so direct. One would expect, of course, that if the person is completely sincere in doing his sacrifices, etc., then he should counteract all the effects. But the same can also be applied to the guru and disciple. He's always chanting the holy name also, so why doesn't he get purified of all those effects or whatever? So in spite of that, it seems that still there is effects carried over because of responsibility. Because one is responsible for the person, therefore there's some shared results. So one may chant, but the other person may not be chanting. The priest may be okay, but the yajaman, the person he accepts, may be not so qualified. So that lack of qualification itself means that maybe he's not chanting the holy name, or maybe he doesn't understand anything about the Supreme Lord, maybe he's not Bharati, we don't know, whatever. Nevertheless, because he's less qualified, therefore some of his ignorance can influence the priest. Yeah, it doesn't specify, actually. It's mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas, one should not take too many disciples because of this shared responsibility. That doesn't, of course, say one way or the other way, shiksha or diksha. But it could be either one, if one is taking a responsibility. Well, for instance, in when you take diksha, then there's a promise made. I follow all these rules and regulations, and the guru makes a promise also that he'll deliver them or whatever like this. So that's more of a formal vow or something like that. In the case of shiksha, usually it's not. But some cases there may be that a person is dedicated to teaching another person. So that even though it's not a formal vow, still the relationship is there. Well, the Vedic mantras are, the basic thing is anyone in the upper caste can chant. Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmanas can chant, are qualified for mantras. So they may not be pure sattva. They could be tamagun rajagun in the case of a Vaishya, or rajagun sattvagun in the case of a Kshatriya. So people who are even influenced by tamas to some, can even somewhat qualify to chant mantras. But apparently he was brahminical because he was a priest. So even though he's inclined, like Sukracharya is also a Brahmin, but he's inclined to the demons.
But how is it possible? I mean, demons are predominantly born of ignorance. And but still they are able to chant and take advantage of these Vedic mantras.
Well, they may not. The demons may not do that, but of course Sukracharya is brahminical, so he will do the mantras. They have interest in those mantras only for material purposes also. They do. So definitely it's not sattvic.
I was trying to understand, Maharaj, that so which means sattva is not predominantly required for chanting Vedic mantras?
No, because we have people in Vaishyas who are not sattvic also. For jnana, definitely, sattva is necessary. That means Upanishads.
Even renunciation is required for jnana?
Well, those in the mode of goodness generally are detached.
But sannyas is not really...
It's not required, but generally they go in that direction of renunciation because they have to control the senses.
Nirantara Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki?
Yes.
Srisvarnasvan Maharaj ki?
Yes.